Mrs. Bottomley, reel one.
Several of the big stores had ladies sat at little tables in their entrances who gave out information and leaflets. I went to one such at Woolen's and another at Harvey Nichols at Knightsbridge and was advised to go to St. Ermin's Hotel, Westminster, to enrol, which I did. I was told that telephonists were not required at first, but mostly cooks, waitresses and storewomen, so I put down as a storewoman. It wasn't until June 17th that I heard anything further, and then I had to go to Devonshire House in Piccadilly, no longer in existence, for a very thorough medical examination. Well, just like a switchboard. Customers ringing up and asking to be put through to various people in different departments, that's all. Same as they do on any big switchboard in a firm. Is that all you want?
How did you get that job?
How did I get it?
Were you trained for it?
Oh, I trained at the GPO, post office, in the first place. But I left there because they wouldn't release me to go in the wax, you see. So when I heard about this, I was working at Gucci's. I hadn't left school when the war broke out in 90... Wait a minute. What was I doing? Have you switched off?
No.
Am I still on? I was stood at Victoria, waiting for my uncle and auntie. I was going to the zoo with them. And it was August the 3rd, I think. And there were crowds of people milling about and excitement in the air. And all of a sudden... I was just carried along by the crowd to Buckingham Palace. I couldn't have got out of it because everybody went. I never saw my uncle and auntie that day, and I don't know if they went to the zoo or not. However, we were carried up to Buckingham Palace, and the crowd shouted for King George to come out on the balcony, which he did after a while. And they were all shouting up, "We demand war with Germany. We demand war with Germany." And the next day, war was declared, and it was August the 4th the next day. And that was August. I'd just left school in July. I went to Whitelands College in King... Do you know King's Road, Chelsea? Well, it isn't there now, isn't the school I went to. It's Whitelands Court, a block of flats. But at that time, it was a day school and also a school for students. The students' part of it went to, they're still in London, Southfields, I think. And the day school of it, the students' part went to Southfield. The day school opened, they closed the day school and reopened it under Miss Moberly Bell at Parsons Green. You know Parsons Green, do you? And it's now called Lady Margaret School. And I'd just left in July, and I was waiting to go to the telephone exchange for training. And when, you see, I'd done very well at school at French, and when they knew at the telephone exchange that I was good at French, they sent me up to the city, to the Continental Exchange. But I didn't like the discipline. You know, they wrap your knuckles and used to lift our hair up to see if we'd knits and things like that. I thought it was a bit, it was a bit disparaging. Anyway, when all this started, I was thinking of leaving anyway because of the discipline and that. And we were mentioning about joining the army. I'd seen it in the paper. And the supervisor said nobody had to apply because the post office would send their own women. So I thought, I'm leaving. So I left and got this job at Gucci's. I don't know how I got to know about Gucci's. I probably knew somebody that worked there. And then I went to Woolen's and got these forms and went to St. Ermin's Hotel. Have I said that? down. Oh, one lady at Woolens said I'd have to be 21. I said I wanted to go to overseas, to France. She said I couldn't go unless I was 21. So I went to the other place, Harvey Nichols, and I was 21 by then, you see. And they gave me the forms. And when I went to St. Ermin's Hotel and signed on, I signed on as a telephonist. Oh, but she said they weren't taking telephonists. The GPO were going to send the telephonists of their own picking. And so I said I'd go as anything. So I went as a storewoman. As I wanted to go to France, I had to be 21, so I put 2 years to my age on the spot. It wasn't until June the 17th that I heard anything further, and then I was directed to attend for a medical exam at Devonshire House, Piccadilly, now demolished. I spent a good half day there being examined thoroughly by six doctors, ladies. And this is another point I'd like to make here. I had an examination by six doctors. They turned me inside out practically. And yet, later in the war, girls were coming out pregnant. How they got out pregnant, I don't know, because they must have relaxed the rules a lot and not examined them as closely as I was examined. I don't think if I'd been pregnant, I couldn't have got past them. Which I wasn't. I didn't know anything about that. I mean, I was only 19. I've mentioned that in. Now then, do you want me to go on?
Yes, please.
So far, I'd not mentioned anything about joining up to my mother, as I knew that she wouldn't agree. My mother was a real martinet. I mean, she wouldn't. Women in the army was unthinkable. But people that she knew were continually telling her how lucky she was to have no boys of military age. You see, I was the eldest of the family and my brothers were all younger. And she, for her part, was hoping the war would end before the boys were old enough to go. So that it was a bombshell when I announced that I was waiting for my call-up papers. Eventually, I was called to Connaught Club. And on July 24th, 1917, a party of 200 of us left Connaught Club for Farnborough, Hants. It's not there anymore. They've rebuilt it and it's a club. It's an overseas club. But at that time, it was a sort of hotel that had been taken over. We used to sit in the windows and watch traffic going round Marble Arch. We could see Marble Arch from the windows and watch people who say, poor things, us sitting as if we were prisoners, you know. And when we didn't get our uniforms there. No, we got them at Farnborough. You see, the first lot to go out were club waitresses and cooks for the officers to go out to France. They went to officers' clubs. So they were already in a women's legion, which was, I don't know much about the women's legion. It was something that was formed before the war. I should think it would be something like the British Legion. I don't know whether it was a leftover from the Boer War. I should hardly think so. It'd be a long time, wouldn't it? But it was called the Women's Legion, and she was in the Women's Legion. She was number 5, her army number, in the WACS. And she was in charge of the officers' club in Abbeville. She's dead now. All those had early numbers. My number was 2365, which was considered a lower number. Anyway, the officers, they had very good food because they catered for the officers, you see, and they slept in a billet which was later bombed, I think, and they came up to Camp 3, the officers' club girls. They thought themselves a race apart. Anyway, where do I go on? Yes, a party of 200 left Connaught Club for Farnborough, Hants. all night long at that Farnborough, they were testing aero engines next door. Now it's a big place, but at that time it was just for testing engines. Nobody got any sleep, and they'd raked us up a few old army beds that came in two pieces, and they were all full of fun, the girls, faking these beds so that they just met and stood up, and when you got into them they went wallop, and all night long there was clatters and bangs and shrieks of laughter, and we didn't sleep much the first night or two. And then there were these engine testing. Then in the morning, I think it must have been a convent, this place. They called it Star Hill Barracks, but it was a beautiful old house and a lovely garden, and I think it might have been a convent at some time. But the we had drill taken by an old soldier, Sergeant Corson, who was exceedingly strict. And then came the inoculations and vaccination. As I had joined up as a storewoman, I was sent up to the clock tower room, which was very peculiar because it was a great big clock, nearly like Big Ben, that idea, and not quite as big. And all the time we were up there, it was click, clock, click, clock. At first it was hard to concentrate, but you got used to it after a bit. Sorting out uniforms that had come from headquarters somewhere, and sorting them into sizes, and if ever I smell new material now, it reminds me of that time, because it was all new, and it had a peculiar smell new material has. And we've got knickers in a pile, and stockings and shoes. The shoes were dreadful. They were like cast iron. When you've got them on, you could hardly lift your feet. But an officer came up there with me, and we sorted things out. And I had to enter everything up into a ledger. And the girls came up so many at a time to have their uniforms, and I had to check them off, and they signed for them. That sort of thing we did up there. And then I went on lectures to Aldershot, because I'd signed as a storewoman, and they sent me to Aldershot Stores, Royal Army Service Corps, I think, that do the stores, or Ordnance do guns and things. It was the part of the army that dealt with stores. I made an awful fool of myself there. There were a row of blue and green, I thought were vases, on a shelf. And I said to the man that was showing, a soldier showing me around, "Those are very pretty vases. What do they use those for in the army?" And he went very red and said they were used in hospitals for the men to urinate in. So I felt an awful fool. I'd never seen anything like them before, and I'd no idea at all. But I bet that story went round the barrack room after he'd got rid of me. But it just shows how stupid I was at that time. And then, after I'd had a few visits to Aldershot for the store, we went back each time to Star Hill Barracks. And then came the inoculations and all that sort of thing. And then the time to set off. We'd been doing some washing, and everything had to be gathered up, all wet things, and stuffed into the suitcase with everything you'd got. You had to take everything. Well, by the time we'd got to Charing Cross Station, all that wet washing was like lead. And I didn't know what to do with it, really. A lot of the stuff should have gone home. However, we got to we had lectures by the officers and doctors. Dr. Sandyman came and gave us lectures about VD. I didn't know what she was talking about. I'd never heard of it before. But you have to hear about these things, and the army is the place to hear, because that's where it can be caught. And she gave us lectures on VD and how not to mix with the soldiers and that sort of thing. to put us on our guard, more or less. And then we had second doses of inoculations, which laid us out, most of us. And, no, they kept up. All we did was we went up to the desk and took an oath to serve the king, each one of us. I don't think they do that now. I don't know. But in return, she'd give us a shilling. Now, after that, they stopped that ceremony. But I certainly got the king's shilling for joining up. But after a while, I think they hadn't time to bother with things like that. And they said it wasn't necessary for the women to do that. But I don't think they talked about the war. We didn't know anything then. In fact, France was a foreign country to me. And I felt very miserable when I landed in France. I thought I'd thrown everything to the wind, you know. I thought I'd never come back again. However, am I on or off?
Yes, go on.
Oh, where are we? The inoculations left us feeling sickly and with very stiff arms. Dr. Sandeman gave us lectures on hygiene. And our first church parade and a drumhead service were held in Aldershot, which was our official headquarters. The drumhead service was very interesting. I'd never...